small details. That can make a big difference. That is also the Father, long before the days of Jesus, predicted that Jesus would be pierced around 12 and verse 12. Thank you. know or remember from our previous study of chapter 1, the divisions that were highlighted by Paul in the first part of this, where the congregation was divided over favorite Christians, Paul and Apollos. See, this even that in their attachments. And Paul reminded them that of those four people, only one of them died for them. They were baptized in his love and by the glory. Only one of them. In fact, all three of the others were also with the mission of Christ. And Paul goes on to talk about the wisdom of God that's present in Christ, and then all the wisdom that everything rests on him. And so in chapter 2, verse 1 to me, this is how it came to me. I refer to how they were divided in speech or human wisdom. I know anything among you except Jesus Christ and then through the Father. But you think we rest in human wisdom, but on the power of God. And so that's how we all get really well. The rest of the chapter 2, Paul will talk about this declaration in more than we will do in some time moving forward. Now, I want to share with you the first instance of the poem of Doris Herbert. And I want to tell you the instance that you're going to have to be familiar with the name a little bit, because you definitely will have to be able to read it. Because of some of the spelling, but that means we are going to have to move it to the end. Away, despair. My gracious Lord, not fear. Though winds and waves assault my field, he, God preferred, he, God's fear. Even though the boat seems most grievous, storms are the triumph of the heart. Well may he close his eyes, but not his heart. Hast thou not heard that my Lord Jesus died? Let me tell thee a strange story. The God of power that he did ride in majestic robes of glory, reserved to the righteous. Oh, yes, I can't say that enough anymore. But that he did ride in majestic robes of glory, reserved to light it, and so one day he did all the rest, all the way. So that's what I'm saying, that poem that you can get, it doesn't even come to you. It's part of the whole poem, it certainly doesn't get us to the fact that I'm going to talk to you, if it is the one that you have to. But in order for him to make his eventual appointment, all of this meditation that he had on Christ's functioning, he does keep thinking back to the time that Jesus left heaven, stood with us, as well as to gather the Holy Spirit with us. That's the purpose of the whole vision. But my Lord Jesus, God, away, say, I don't want to say to yourself or offer you to go to yourself. But despair has no claim on the life that knows that Jesus Christ died for us. The strange story, he said, and it is a strange story. It's strange by any standard. It's a strange story that our life. We used to be
the most beautiful story, the most wonderful story of love, and the most strange story. The story of the Lord of Lords is driving in his majestic robes and hopes that you and I will step really on the head. And that he reserves urban road or maybe to life from his orders, as it were, and remove his glory from the Lord. So one day he wrote, he did this thing, undressing all the way. And we have studied the life of Christ, not only from the gospel, but from what other people desire to give us insight into the matter of Jesus. With Paul's heart about his humanity and birth in Matthew and Luke, they also get things back before that. He finds that no man saw what he subverted to in John chapter 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was undressing all the way. Following from the moment that he got off the horse and took off the robe and came to mourn in the house of Mary and David, he climbs down all the way from one humiliation to another, undressing all the way. I'm not sure I've ever heard more profound, non-retired illustration of the fact that Jesus claims. What part of the greater context that we've been talking about, first, Corinthians are dealing with tradition and human practices, it's not what we have all the gods so far, and what the Lord and the Holy Earth has gathered to is that. In the cover of the referred to years ago as three plays and actually from back and forth. But they seem to have but this was all that occupied against itself changed the enemy. This couldn't be allowed present. It would eventually bring them apart if it wasn't addressed. But it wasn't even which they're apart, or only they're apart as the Lord's. We call that kingdom, that higher plane than the saints. We have lots of individuals. It was their obligation, and it's our obligation, to always reconcile with each other. To see solutions to our problems rather than run away from them as they are. To see answers to our conflicts as the Lord and their God. Without being continued. So Paul can make it here. And what he's saying to you really sets up the rest of the life. But Paul here does what he does every letter. What the second piece of interpersonal drama within the congregation. That we don't help what it is in congregation to that people in the present. He calls out his followers, Jesus. And in particular, he calls out Jesus and him crucified. Crucified against any self-centeredness, any double-mindedness, threatening to reject the life of the Lord, threatening to tear you apart. I'm sure you've heard me or had this experience before, but it's been frustrating hearing it from my friend. So, when you want something to do something, it's really come back to you or difficult for you. But then,
you know somebody, or you find out about somebody else who's gone to the people in the most difficult world in the world. And I can probably draw from my own experience of having been married now for almost 30 years. You know, my wife has married and given birth to six children.
We all have humbled ourselves out of human by becoming obedient. How obedient life is best is to what degree what seems to be. How serious what seems about recognizing Christ. Becoming obedient to the point of death. Everyone sacrifices for the relationships that matter. But when God is clear, we're a part of something that is bigger, that is strong with all of our heart. We represent something. And that's our company. We also represent something greater than ourselves. We know we're not able, we're no good on our hearts.
and being crucified, it's not theology or intellectual exercise. In theology, we're great in revelation about your God. But it doesn't exist just for the more Jews to be a lesson or a danger. Jesus Christ that you crucified is tangible and practical example of grief that we're all on. The body of Christ, the loved one, who sacrificed for the good of others and for the whole, for the greater good of that which is greater than all of us. Mama, John is a greater here, greater words, the other God, 3:16, first love, 3:16. This is how we know love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us for a reason, but to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, I think this commandment, my observation of you, I think it would be easier. I think it would be easier to make the big splash, do the big thing. It's easy for one who is in danger and to react, and to dive in or to plug in and to sacrifice, literally sacrifice one's life for them. I'm not saying it's easy by any stretch. I'm saying I think that would be easier than what we're really called upon to do. Now, you might read this passage here, what he's writing about, talking about laying down our life for the brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you might put that in context and say, in here, probably talking about the persecution that happened in the saints, which is all part of the Bible. That may very well be the case. Some of that occurred in the Israelites and in the written down rumors. So we need to take that into our mind. But at the very least, that's not all that's in there. I think it would be easier for us to say, let me, let me take your place in the coffee and throw me into the wild place, and I'll set the only place to you. So we get back this part of the other lives all done in one false move. What I think is infinite in part is to stay in the part. Day by day. Laying down our lives over and over and over and over and over again for one another. Sacrifice our own interests and our own time and our own wants and our own desires and our own convictions for each other for life. And so do we. We unmask all the way. I promise you that I'll be back around for the poem, so I hope I'll treat you and I'll do my second lesson poem. But before I do, because of the structure, the language we need to have one of these, I do want to give a word of explanation. Because I believe from the point of itself, and you're only able to that you know how to read it on your own way. So I want to give a word of explanation. I truly think it would be helpful when you hear this word of explanation and then hear what I heard earlier. I thought it was what John wrote about. See, it's what it's like when you decide to imagine. It had a remarkable purpose. For the aching wound that was left behind here.
in that empty. That room turned into some kind of door. Or, in that city, almost something like a nail slot. It has a person. A nail slot. Into which for everyone, it must love to do it for us. What is promised, what earned, what are we at? We earn this slot in the sky, into which the saints will place their prayers. And Christ, the promise of the Lord, he will not. And let the glory be continued to not worthy of the life of the other. Christ will see to it now. The good prayers that were lost in your evening room were made to his power. Now with that. Away there. Not waste for the fear. The wind and waves saw the heal. He that preserved it. He that steered. Even when the boat seemed most to reel. Storms are the time of his heart. Well, maybe he closed his eyes, but not his heart. That's how I heard that my Lord Jesus died. And what he held in a strange joy, with all the power that seemed to rise, in the midst of rows of glory, reserved for them, until one day he reached heaven, and he accepted all the things. The stars, the sky of light, and the rays of heaven, the cloud of his bow, the fire of his spear, the spot of his sacramental wing, and when they asked what he would wear, he smiled and said as he would go, he had new clothes awaiting here below. When you come and travel a lot, to get prepared and to meet him, both dead and after many a while, he has endured patient sickness. We have been in the rest before. Here, he gave up his life to pay the highest reward. But as he was turning, they came one, the real boy with the spear. He came for all alone, bringing no name, nor the weapons, nor fear, received the blow upon the side. And certainly, he turned, and he was praying, crying. If you have anything, seven, or right, I have no doubt. But here is removed. But in my father's hand and sight, the evening, it shall be done. I shall find what you require. Look, you may put very near my heart. Or, if your answer, any of my friends, will you be in this time, the door shall still be open. What it says, I will be. Somewhat more, not perfectly. Sighs will convey anything to me. Heart, prepare, hope. Amen. I
our Lord won for us. Father, we bless us. What great blessings we have in you. And as it is so wonderful, to know that you love us in our love already, may we get on to walk in this place. We encourage you in our Christian life. The things are really valuable and loving that they often have to do themselves in the world. You bore all of that humiliation for your love and because he loves you so very much. Even how it hurts for you and what is available to you, he has to be very well. And so just be faith and family with one moment of love and the thing you do, that will even try to be very well. Thank you.